Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2024 Memorial Tournament, Jack's Place. But it's an elevated event this year, so it's a little bit different. 72, like 73, it varies. Thanks to Bobby Mack and Company Golfers, no cut event this week. So all the fun stuff that comes with that. But before we get through there, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Another week of golf in the books. We took a week off because of my silly schedule on the holiday, but we're back here to get the elevated event and a major next week. So Pinehurst will be fun to talk about, but we have one small event here. I know you mentioned you didn't get to watch a lot this weekend, but Bobby Mack takes down the title with Dad on the bag. That was pretty fun stuff.
He did. I played him the week before, bet him the week before, I think, too.
And naturally. And then
just nothing this past week, so not surprising.
That's how it works. I thought it was funny because he had his dad come on the bag because he was getting homesick. His dad was bored. This is Bobby Mack's fourth caddy in like a year. He just can't get comfortable. Brings his dad out, gets the win, which is pretty cool stuff. But he was on. They were about two holes behind. Got put on the clock. He was complaining about the drone on CBS. So that was wild. It was a very interesting Sunday is the best way I'll put it overall.
Yeah, I saw some tweets about that. Like you said, I didn't get to watch any of it. Yeah. I thought him going into the Sunday with a four-shot lead, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion, but it's golf, so it's not that easy. That was a hell of a shot he hit on 18 and made the putt to birdie it. Made par, which is all he needed.
Made par, two putt par. Yeah. One of the most impressive parts, I would say, of the Sunday, entertaining, maybe not impressive is the right word, but entertaining parts of Sunday for me while watching it was Rory having to do his post game interview with the girl he's apparently seeing right now. That was entertaining because Twitter's on fire with the memes. Twitter's on fire with the memes on this one. But other than that, just a normal day of golf. Rory and Tom Kim played pretty well. Fleetwood, my one and done, entered the day T5, finished T20. That was always fun. Other than that, though, it was a cool golf course. I'll give them that much. Fun golf course. The renovations at Hamilton kept it challenging, but also gettable at the same time. So good golf all around in that regard.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really have any other takes on it, to be honest with you. My lineup was terrible, and I just had no interest in the tournament. So
On that note, we will direct it to the Memorial this week. Again, I believe it's 72 golfers right now. It's 73 because they did replace him with the one player right outside the Aeon Twig. David Thompson got in for Bobby Mack. So 73 golfers this week, which will be fun. No cut event. What do you got for some past event history for us at Jack's Place?
Yeah, last year, Victor Hovland was a champion, 7-under in a playoff over Denny McCarthy. 2022 was Billy Horschel, 13-under, four shots over Aaron Wise. 2021 was Patrick Cantlay's second win, 13-under in a playoff over Colin Morikawa. I think that was the year, too, that they made Rahm withdraw.
That's the one he dropped positive with COVID. Yeah.
He was like up by like five or six shots.
Yeah. He was crushing the entire field pretty easily.
He won the year before that, 2020, 9-under, three shots over Ryan Palmer. 2019 was Patrick Cantlay's first win, 19-under, two shots over Adam Scott. Bryson DeChambeau won in 2018, 15-under in a playoff over Ben Ahn and Kyle Stanley. Jason Duffner, William McGirt, David Lingmuth in three consecutive years. Don't hear much about any of those guys anymore. No. Hideki, past champion. Tiger Woods has won this golf tournament five times.
That's pretty telling stuff there. Tiger always dominated. But Jack's Place, people get their milkshakes. Lately, the cream of the crop has risen to the top on these ones. But like you mentioned some names prior, not so much the case, but it's a course we're very familiar with. I've actually was reading something that it's like outside of the Masters, one of the most correlated courses with course history. Again, remember, this is the first time it's a no-cut event, so that changes things a bit. But it is Muirfield Village Country Club in Akron, Ohio area. So you got that going for you. It's about almost 7,600 yards, about 7,570, par 72. So a long, long track. But like most Jack Nicklaus courses, it's all about hitting the shot to certain spots for your next shot. It's not as much of a bomb and gouge test, as you'll have some very penal rough out there. You'll have the fairways changing like the widths in certain spots of the course. The greens are small, but usually very puttable. They're not very difficult greens. It's all about the you have a lot of sand around, a lot of bunkers, I should say, around the greens, and it's a lot of long iron play, a lot of long iron play. So you're going to see that a lot. You need to be in the fairway. You need to have a good long iron game. The par fours, a lot of them are 450 to 500, so they're longer par fours. You need to take advantage of the par fives, which you could say on any course, especially long courses like this. So the biggest thing is finding fairways, really good long iron game. So approach game is tremendously important out here. But other than that, it's the best of the best out here with a no-cut event. So as much as we want to predict things, is we know anything can happen with four rounds of chaos. So what do you like for some stats this week, Jesse?
Yeah, you know, tee to green really, really matters this week. Approach matters every week. Bogey avoidance, more so than birdie or better. Par five scoring. And course history, like you said. Those are all the things that I weight.
Well, let's see how it weights out. Let's look at the rankings in our model by going over the DraftKings picks for the week. Again, no cut events, so have some fun here. We don't have a 5K range, which is nice, but Scotty's only 12.5 this week, so I guess that offsets things. Four players over 10K this week, Jesse. You got Scotty Scheffler at 12.5, Rory McIlroy at 11.1, Xander at 10.9, Vic at 10.2. All very good golfers, all worth discussions if you're interested, but who do you like here?
Scotty Scheffler.
Probably a good safe call, yeah.
This is a good range. You know, you got Rory, who's played very well recently. Xander, obviously, coming off the win at the PGA Championship. And then Victor, who's the defending champion. So I'll play Scotty. I don't care. The other guy that I think I'm going to highly consider is Hovland because of the swing change or whatever. And then the course history, like you said, it matters quite a bit. Scotty does have, you know, pretty good course history, though, too. He's finished third in back-to-back years or back-to-back starts for him at this event. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're all very, very relevant. Scotty's the clear number one. There's no doubt about that. Rory's number two in my model. Xander's number five in my model. So I got no problem with it, but I love the Vic call. That was the one I kind of highlighted when I was going through this. He's 40th in my model, but he announced the swing change, and he goes out and finishes third at the PGA Championship. There was a point last year where Vic was playing so well, we thought he was the next guy, not Scotty Scheffler type situation. Right. And then he went and tweaked things like all kids like to do these days, and then realized he was wrong and went back to his old swing coach, and boom, bam, here we are. We'll see how things change. It's been a couple weeks off. It could be different, but I think that is a nice potential leverage angle with Hovland. But all four of these guys are very, very much in play. It's a fun range. Scotty's the clear number one, though. There's no doubt about that. But pick your poison. Have some fun up here. 9K range, you got Colin Morikawa at 98, Ludvig at 95, Cantlay at 94, JT at 92, Fleetwood at 91, and Hideki at 9,000. Starting to separate themselves out a little bit here.
Yeah. Start with Morikawa. His course history is weird. There was two events here back-to-back in 2020, if you remember.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And then one was like it wasn't the memorial. It was something
the work
else.
Day.
Yeah. But anyways, so last year he withdrew from this event. The year before that, he missed the cut. Finished the second in 21. Did he withdraw in the fourth round?
Yeah, with the back injury.
Mm. And in 2020, he won the first event and then placed 48th the second event. But, you know, coming off a fourth place finish at the Charles Schwab, fourth at the PGA Championship, if he could have made a putt. I do expect this to be a difficult test this week because Jack just wants it to be that way. And Colin has hit the ball so well recently, especially at these kind of elevated, harder events. If you look at the Masters, third, the Heritage, ninth, 16th at the Wells Fargo, and then of course the back-to-back fourth place finishes. Like him quite a bit. Cantlay, it's just hard to ignore his course history. He's won here twice. Worst finish since 2018 was 32nd. He did finish 30th here last year, but I think he's totally fine to play. Fleetwood, the course history is not great, but if you talk about a guy who usually plays well at more difficult tracks that should play hard and fast, Tommy's usually one of those guys. And then Hideki, who is a past champion here, hasn't fared super well since his win in 2014, but he did finish sixth here in 2019, 16th last year, and then hasn't missed a cut in forever. Of course, there's no cut this week, but playing solid golf at $9,000 there.
Yep. I love the call and play. He is fourth in my model, coming off the back-to-back third-place finishes, playing really, really well. You mentioned the history here. We're talking long iron players when he's locked in. This is a big thing. He's number one in good drives in this tournament over the last 24 rounds, which says a lot as well. So he's hitting it farther and longer. He's ninth in the par fours, 450 to 500. He's seventh from 150 to 175. And he rates out pretty well everywhere else. Obviously, he's fourth overall. So I like Holland on this one. Love Fleetwood just because he seems to always get overlooked in this range. And kind of like you mentioned, he hangs around. If he was 85, he'd be chalkier than chalk. 91 might get enough people off of him. But he's great in sand saves. If that's like, it helps you avoid bogeys and keeps you in things. Seventh in good drive. So there is a lot to like about Fleetwood. Love Hideki. He's third in my model. That's was pretty telling to me. Just because you mentioned the recent form he's coming in with. He's got the course history. He's number one around the green here. He's top 10 in par fours, bogey avoidance, sand saves. Like, he's top 20 pretty much everything in my model. So I like Hideki a lot. But the one I wanted to bring up was Justin Thomas. 15th in my model. So he's not like rated super high. But this is a guy that we know he's better than he's played as a whole, say the last calendar year. But you just look at recent results from JT, 8th at the PGA, 21st at Wells Fargo, 5th at the Heritage. Definitely coming into form, it feels like, with Justin Thomas. Missed cut here last year, but then 42nd and 18th. So never really finished high at this event. And you might get some low-owned Justin Thomas here who might be rounding into form, which would be nice to see in this field. So the 10K range is where it's at pretty much. But you could legit make an argument for, like, pairing Morikawa with one other guy in this range and starting out there and probably feeling pretty good about yourself when all things are said and done.
Yeah.
All right. 8K range. You got Wyndham Clark at 89, Sahith at 88, Max Homa at 87, Spieth 86. It's kind of fitting there next to each other with their struggles. Connors at 85, Binion 84, Burns 83, Fitz 82, Noren, who let all the chalk out of the bag last week at 81, and Russell Henley and Sungjae both at 8,000. Who do you like in the 8K range?
Start with Homa, man. So fifth and sixth in his last two appearances here. He didn't play here last year, but that was 22 and 21. I know he's coming off a miscut to Charles Schwab. He shot 78 the first day. But he was in the mix for a little bit at the PGA Championship, ended up finishing 35th, eighth at the Wells Fargo, and then third at the Masters. So playing kind of these tougher tracks better. I like him to show up at 8,700, Corey Connors, 8,500. I think he hit the ball just insanely well. Yeah, and accuracy. Like, when he hit the fairway, I think he hit every green.
Yeah, I think it was like 23 or 23 or something like that.
He only hit half the fairways. So, yeah. But, I mean, played the par fives well last week. Played well at the PGA Championship, Wells Fargo, the Masters. Been on, you know, if you go back to the recap of the past winners. He finished second here in 2018. Since then, it's been kind of weird. 17th in 2019, three straight miscuts, and then 24th last year. And is coming off a 43rd place finish at the PGA. I think going back to Noren this week makes sense. Yeah. I mean, he was on a tear. What did he shoot? I don't know what the par was there last week.
Par 70.
I guess he was two under. And then, you know, basically missed the cut. He was bound to have a bad week, but I think it's a good week to bounce back. And I love Russell Henley this week. 16th here last year, 23rd at the PGA Championship, 10th Wells Fargo, 12th Heritage, 39th Masters, 4th Texas Open, playing really solid golf right now at $8,000. And he's just a very good ball striker, which is what is needed at Muirfield Village.
Yeah, I'll start at the bottom and echo. I have Noren eighth in my model, Henley ninth. Henley is a very, very good ball striker. Like you said, an iron player, stays out of trouble, like usually finds himself in the fairway. So I agree with everything you got there. He's seventh in this field in strokes gained approach over the last 24 rounds. Noren, I am 100. Like we talk about it time and time again, when a guy misses a cut, jump right back on. Hopefully a lower ownership. Golf's a tough game. Not everybody can be Tiger Woods and make a million cuts in a row. You're going to miss a few, but you might put another 20 in a row or something, like just exaggerating, but you could put another run together. Noren was playing that well. The numbers support it. He could be in for another, especially with the no cut event. It's even better. Sungjae at 8,000. This is kind of like my feeling when it comes to the JT call earlier. You get Sungjae at $8,000 here, and he feels like he's coming into form. Ninth at the Schwab, did miss the cut at the PGA, fourth at Wells Fargo, 12th at Heritage. So he missed the cut at the major. Tough conditions. This will be tough. But ninth, fourth, and 12th in his other three starts at $8,000. I do like that for Sungjae. He's coming in with a 41st here last year, but a 10th the year before. So Sungjae could be a fun one at 8,000. Fitz at 82 kind of meets that Sungjae mold for me as well. When you look at Fitzpatrick, ninth, then back-to-back missed cuts and a third here. So either really good or nothing. No missed cut. That bodes well. But he's coming in really weird form. So obviously you're playing GPP on a no-cut week, but Fitz is interesting. I like Sam Burns a lot. The way you like Henley, I like Burns at $8,300. Burns is coming into this event with a 16th last year. He's 50th and 21 withdrawn in 2019. But the recent form from Burns, 10th last week, missed the PGA, 13th at the Wells Fargo. So playing some decent golf outside of the major, again, happens. I agree with your Benyon and Connors calls. They're great. And then, yeah, that's about it for me up here. I love this 8K range, especially the lower 8K range. Do a lot of damage here. Again, if you want to go with 2 9Ks and a no cut, you could probably do 2 9Ks and 2 8Ks pretty easily in this field. So I do like quite a bit of options there. 7K range. We got Finau, Lowry, Cam Young, Tom Kim, Siwoo Kim, Bradley, McCarthy, Day, Straka, Z, Willie Z, Hoagie, Horschel, Seabez, Harmon, Griffin, English, Jaeger, Hughes, Poston, Glover, Kitayama, Fowler. How do you like, who do you like in the 7K range?
Start with Tom Kim, man. He did miss the cut here last year. Not, again, no cut this year, but fourth place finish last week, 24th week before that, 26th week before that. Just seems to be getting better. And we think we talked about this a few weeks ago about how, you know, he did seem to be finding his game, and this is a really cheap price tag for him this week. Keegan Bradley's played here a bunch, 30th, 37th, missed cut, 68th, 39th, missed cut, 23rd. So, I mean, not great finishes. Coming off a second place finish at the Charles Schwab, played well at the PGA Championship, finished 18th. Siwoo at 77, hasn't missed a cut here since 2019, finished fourth last year. One other top 10 sprinkled in there, a couple other top 20s as well. So, got some good course history. Form coming in, you know, whatever, 56th missed cut. Not to worry about no cuts this week. Billy Horschel's intriguing to me. Past champion, came out of nowhere at the PGA Championship, finished 8th. I mean, I say out of nowhere, like, I didn't expect it. He had some decent finishes this year, and it looks like he might be regaining some form. So, as somebody who's played well around here in the past and actually won this golf tournament at $7,400, I think that's a worth a shot. Bezenhout, three out of three made cuts. His best finish was 2020. We finished 22nd, coming off a 17th place finish at the Charles Schwab. And then Jaeger at 7,100, 24th here last year. You know, made the cut at the PGA Championship, had a terrible Sunday. Before that, had like three straight top 20s, basically. So he's playing solid golf as well.
Yep. Fun range here. Like, it's funny. I love the bottom half of the 8s. I love the top hats of the 7. Shane Lowry at $7,900 putted like garbage last week. Otherwise, struck it very well. 21st in my model. When you look at Lowry, he finished like 33rd last week with 6th of the PGA, 47, 64. So, not the best of finishes outside of the major. But he finished 16th here last year, 32nd and 6th the last 3 years. So, he does play this course well. It's just a matter of can Shane putt or not. That's the million-dollar question. Tom Kim, I'm on board with you. Same with Siwoo Kim. He's 12th on my model. He's playing really good golf. We've talked about him a bit lately on recent shows. 56th the Schwab, missed cut at the PGA, but prior to that, 16th, 13th, 18th at Wells, Nelson, and Heritage. So a good run. Maybe he's slowing down, but he got the couple weeks off to hopefully shake the cobwebs because he plays great here. 4th, 13th, 9th, 18th. So do like some Siwoo at 77. I always like Keegan in tough no-cut events. He'll have one big round and get you going. Denny's got good history here. If you want to go Denny McCarthy, luck box putting week. But if you want to play like iron play guys, Sepp Straka and Tom Hoagie are your dudes. Super volatile players. We know this. Hoagie's 14th in my model. Straka's 25th. But like Straka's 5th from 150 to 175. Hoagie is 14th. They both struggle a little farther out, but they're going to be in the fairway a lot. Good drives. Sepp's 3rd in the field in good drives. Hoagie's 8th in the field in good drives. Both just massive GPP, all or nothing type plays with Straka and Hoagie. So I like both of those options. You mentioned Seabez, Jaeger. I'm with you there. The one other guy I'll mention is Lucas Glover. Just he's 10th on my model because he's the same. Like, this is how it felt last year. Like, why am I saying Lucas Glover? He just like pokes and prods and then finds his way into the top of the leaderboard, at least the top 15 or so, more often than not. Glover's come off a 12th at the Schwab, 43rd at the PGA, 16th at Wells Fargo. He did a 33rd even before that. Like, he just slowly hangs around. And when you look at recent performance, missed cut here, but then 4 straight made cuts, again, no cut event. But Glover at 7K seems like a decent price tag if you're looking to save some scratch this week. All right. Speaking of saving scratch this week, Jesse, who do you like in the 6K range?
Yeah, there's a few guys down here who are playable. Rose at $6,900. You know, he's played here a lot. He actually had a stretch from 2015, he finished 2nd. 2018, he finished 6th. 2019, he finished 3rd or 13th, excuse me. He's missed 2 straight cuts here. Both of those were in 2020. He hasn't played here since 2020, but obviously flashed some really good form at the PGA Championship where he was in contention there. Taylor Moore, I mean, that might be a guy you consider. Dietrich is a guy who I think can potentially play well around here. He really had a good showing at the PGA Championship where he finished 4th, made the cut to Charles Schwab the next week and finished 56th. And made his lone cut here last year and finished 48th. Lee Hodges at 6,500 finished 12th here last year and has 2 straight top or 12th place finishes coming in. So 12th Charles Schwab, 12th PGA Championship. Jake Knapp is my last one at 6,200, just a pure GPP dart throw. Missed the cut at the PGA Championship, but if he can keep it in the fairway, you know, he could be the kind of guy that you want on your GPP team at $6,200.
Yep. It's an interesting range. Like, no major standouts, but you have some guys like you have Rosie here. I got Ashke at 69, 13th of my model. You never know what you're going to get out of Ashke. Like, some weeks he looks like the next greatest thing, and there's other weeks like, well, he's still young. He missed the cut here last year, but recent form, like 60th at RBC, missed cut at Schwab, missed cut at PGA, 42nd, but then 18th, he won. Prior to that, I think that's GPP upside with him. The problem with Ashke is, 47th out of 73 in good drives. It's not his best, but he does have very good long iron play. So it's one of those, if he can just, like, he's 4th in the field in the strokes gains approach. If Ashke can just find the fairway, he becomes quite interesting in this whole grand scheme of things. A few other guys on here. You mentioned Rosie. Vic Perez coming off a nice week. It's like a guy I feel like we've all wanted to come through. He just never does it consistently. Like 50th at the Charles Schwab, missed the PGA, but then 3rd last week. Really good on the Euro Tour. Courses like this that emphasize fairway always remind me of Euro Tour golfers more. Like, they just need to poke and plod their way around. Maybe it's got some Vic Perez to it. I like the more called Tomas Dietrich is one I really like. Great par 5 score. Fairway finding is an issue. If he can find the fairway, he'll be fine, but again, no cut. So he'll probably have at least one big day in the mix. Adam Shank playing some rough golf, but has good history here. Like, he's missed his last 2 events, but then 64th at Wells, 13th at Byron Nelson. But back here, 7th last year, 26th the year before. So maybe Shank can get back on track. I love Lee Hodges' call. Last one I'll have here is Seamus Powers. He's 16th in my model, $6,300 for Seamus. 41st here last year, missed cut the year before. And he's coming off of the missed cut at Canadian, but then 16th at Wells, missed cut at the Nelson, 12th at Heritage. That screams GPP at $6,300 to me. Like, two top 13s, 2 missed cuts. No missed cut this week, so maybe Seamus could have some fun at this one at $6,300. All right, let's recap things, Jesse. 10K and above, outside of Scotty Scheffler, who do you like?
Vic.
Yeah, that's probably – I'll say Xander to be different, but I'm with you on Vic. 9K range, who do you like?
Morikawa.
I'm going to go to be different. I will go JT on this one. 8K range.
Henley.
I'm going to go Sammy Burns at 83. Or who's your 7K play?
Keegan.
I like the Keegan. He's just such a steady plotter. For me in the 7K range, I'll go with Shane Lowry and hope he learns how to putt. 6K range. What do you got?
Lee Hodges.
I'm going to go Seamus Power just to say screw it and go full punt. Get your 2.9s, get your 2.8s, punt with Seamus, see where it goes type scenario. We don't condone cash on no cut week, especially if fields is 72. If there was at least 140 or something, we could talk, but not going to happen this week. GPP, though, who are you starting out your lineups with, Jesse?
I'm going Scotty, Russell Henley, and Lee Hodges.
That is fair. I will go Scotty, Seamus Power, and Colin Morikawa. Who do you like to win this darn thing? Let's talk some bets this week. I know you're the bet master, so who you got?
Yeah, I don't know about bet master. It's a little bit strong. I've got Colin Morikawa at 14-1, Hideki at 40, and Victor at 18-1. And then I went with a little parlay here of top 20s, Morikawa, Vic Hovland, and Russell Henley.
I like that.
So three-way parlay there, which is plus 472. So almost 5-1.
I like this because the top 20 bets, like literally a little more than a third of the field, basically. It will be right. A top 20. So Shane Lowry plus 175. If I like him as much as I do, I'll take that top 20 action. And then if you want some other like longer shot top 20 guys, I think Lee Hodges at plus 330 at least deserves a little warrant just for some fun money on that one. And then who was your third guy in your parlay again?
Henley. No. It was Vic Morikawa. Yeah, Vic Morikawa and Henley.
That's right. Yeah, those are strong. Like I love like Siwoo Kim's plus 140, Sungjae's plus 140. There's Henley plus 125, even Hideki's plus 115. So good plus money for guys that just got to be in the top third of the field, which, again, golf is not like given, but pretty fun stuff there. Final thoughts this week, Jesse. That was a quickie as we have a small field. We got a major next week at Pinehurst, the U.S. Open. Yep. Any final thoughts of the week?
I don't. Looking forward to next week in Pinehurst. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Any thoughts on Liv Houston this weekend? I'm just kidding. Kidding.
Wait, they're playing. I do have a thought on the women's U.S. Open. That was a really, really fun golf course.
What do you got there? Yeah,
that was a really fun golf course to watch.
People were complaining they didn't score enough, which made me laugh because other years people
say U.S. Open.
I know. Yeah. It was just funny. Like, watch, people are just never happy. You can never.
It might have been a little bit unfair with that one hole that where Nelly Korda made a 10.
A 10. That was rough.
At the same time, like, I don't know. She didn't play the shots well, you know. So, no. I mean, there did was.
Did you see the edited clip where the edited clip of her on the 10 at the where she got the 10? Like when they edited in the 10 cup, like just give me the ball.
No,
it was so good. It's like after her second water ball, it edited into Tish Barron's caddy character in 10 cup, and Kevin Costner just give me the ball, and he's just looking at him like, God damn. it was beautiful. I was like, oh, whoever, like this, that's when the internet's undefeated. Moments like that. Like, sure. You guys are good there. But
I thought the golf course was great. I didn't watch a whole heck of a lot of it, but from what I saw of it, it looked really fun.
That's how they should be. They should be challenging like that. That's a major, folks. Yeah. Like every now and then, like we'll say, like Pebble's a great course. I don't think it should be an open course. It's just there because of the title, and because if the wind doesn't play, it sucks. It's just there's nothing hard about it. Is you can narrow the fairways as much as you want, but courses like this past weekend for the U.S. Open, well, that's what you're getting. Like that's your teeth right there. You're not worrying about stuff drying out, this, that, and the other. That's your golf course. Come get some. Honestly, Muirfield could be an open course. I'm surprised it's not. Like you could make this a U.S. Open course.
They probably deal with the membership. Probably deals with too much bullshit with the.
You're probably right. I forgot
to think, it's just one. That. So.
Yeah, you're probably right. But all right, we'll wrap it up there again. Liv Houston's actually where they used to play the Houston Open prior to the Masters, so this will be a fun one to see. There's like six or seven guys in the field that have won there, which is very interesting. Like we haven't seen that very often, but I'm always excited to see how Brooks either cares or doesn't care before a major. It's always great fodder for me on this one. He just spent the weekend at the SIA swimsuit weekend with his wife. So he's living the good life. And we'll see how that goes. But until next time, make sure y'all check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm on Twitter at BD Untrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. This was your 2024 The Memorial Preview. Catch you all next time.